I chose you from the world, that you may go and bear fruit that will last, says the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Read from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus departed to the mountain to pray. He spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself. From them he chose 12. We also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon who is called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground. A great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him because power came forth from him and healed them all. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All of us here really like to read, and we like to read good books. Probably one of the best books to read related to what we see what Jesus is doing today in expelling demons is a book written by Gabriel de Morth. And Gabriel de Morth, when I was in Rome, there was a chief exorcist. And the chief exorcist was actually that man, Gabriel de Morth. And he died about 5 years ago. He was about 95. And he was the chief exorcist of Rome. And I'd like to just give you a brief summary of one of the chapters in the book. He speaks about the different ways in which the devil can work on us. And he gives about five or six different ways. And one would be, the obvious would be temptation. Second would be oppression. The third would be obsession. Fourth would be infestation. Fifth would be vexation. And the sixth would actually be possession. So those are the six different ways that the devil works. Good. I'll go through all of them briefly. Yeah. Temptation, we all know what that is. We have a bad thought that crosses our mind that goes against the commandments. We all have temptations every day. And often the temptations can come very quickly. And as soon as we're aware of the temptation, we have to reject it. There was once a priest that was talking to the man. He said, did you entertain those bad thoughts? And he said, no, they entertained me. Okay. Now, bad thought come, Hail Mary, get rid of it. So, Vexation would be, you probably remember that we saw that movie with Dad on Padre Pio. We saw that maybe about 8 years ago. I remember Dad said he really liked the movie. It was long, but he said it was a really good movie. And another one's going to be coming out that you sent me. You sent me the trailer.
He became a convert to Catholicism as a result of his being exposed to Padre Pio and acting.
Yeah. So we could see that one too once it comes out. But Vexation is, do you remember in the movie when Padre Pio was in his room and there's a lot of noise and they opened the door and they saw they had bruises? So Vexation is the devil can manhandle us. He can physically happen in the life of the Curia Varas and Padre Pio. It doesn't always happen, but God can allow the devil to actually physically beat us up. That's what vexation is. Infestation would be we laugh at this, but the haunted house. A house can be haunted by the devil. That's why if you move into a house where there was satanic practice, or the use of the Ouija board, things like that, the bad spirit can actually stay in the house. That's why it's good to bless the house. Have a house blessing to expel the bad spirits. What about a diabolical obsession? Now, we've all had that. We're not even aware of it. Now, psychology would say obsession is a fixed idea that you can't seem to get rid of. A fixed idea. That would be the psychological definition. But obsession would be this. You get up in the morning and maybe someone hurt you 20 years ago and you have that person in your mind and you're angry at that person the whole day. That'd be an example of it. And it almost is as if you can't seem to get rid of it. Now, St. Ignatius says, talk it out with your spiritual director. Once you talk it out, because the devil, what does he do? The devil has a tendency to blow things out of proportion. The proverbial turning a molehill into a mountain. It's like you get a cut, you don't tend the cut, it gets infected, right? And then maybe gangrene and get the amputation. So as soon as we're aware of that, it's good to talk it out. So that we deflate. The devil tends to inflate. Like a helium balloon. The devil tends to inflate like a helium balloon. So you're talking it out, then you're able to perforate and puncture the devil and his tactics. But everyone has obsessions. It could be avarice or envy or greed or lust or anger or, for example, an alcoholic gets up in the morning, hasn't drunk in 25 years. He gets up in the morning, he's got the bottle in his mind the whole day. So the devil brings that bottle to his mind the whole day, presenting it to him. So the devil knows our kryptonite. Our kryptonite, remember that? He knows our, in Greek literature, our fatal flaw. He knows our fatal weakness, and he plays upon that. So an oppression is the devil can allow us to experience a desolation. We feel kind of heavy the whole day, morally, emotionally heavy the whole day, and without any real reason. And then finally you have the diabolical possession. It's interesting. Me and Father Larry have asked who was the exorcist in L.A., and they've never told us.
They never what?
Told us.
They never told us.
Why do you think? Because if...
And he never told us.
We've asked, because now and then we get...
You asked the bishops?
Yeah. Now and then we go, very rare, but now and then we get a case where it could be a diabolical possession. It could be. purposely, if, say for example, they delegated me as the exorcist, I would never get to sleep 20, I would never, why? Because you'd have everyone knocking at the door.
Something bad happens there, yeah.
And 99% of the time, it's someone with a psychological problem more than a spiritual problem.
I'm sorry. You and Father Larry would never what?
You ever told who the exorcist was in Los Angeles? They would not tell them.
Oh, I see.
And the reason
because
every time something bad happens, they're going to be calling him, and 99% of the time, it's a false alarm.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Just that you're aware. I mean, I think maybe I've had maybe 4 or 5 cases where I thought that the person might. You know, in 36 years. Because usually what it is, it's something you have to study the physiological state of the person, the psychological state of the person, and then the spiritual state of the person. Now, if you go into a room and it's summer 80 degrees and the room is 10 degrees. You see the person floating in the air. The person speaking in Swahili, and he never spoke. So, oh, well.
That's pretty good evidence, yeah.
No. But Father Al Hall once said, if you could do something that person is doing on a physical level, don't jump the gun. I remember once in Anaheim, there was this lady that was going around on the ground like remember the Three Stooges going around the circle and yelling out? And I could do that too. And everyone thought that she was possessed. So that could be something psychological. Something psychological. And Gabriel de Morth attributes possession to 3 basic causes. What would you think? One would be you're playing around with the occult. You know, the Ouija board, black magic, satanic practices. You're opening up the door to the evil one. The second one would be this. When parents curse their children.
What?
Parents curse their children.
Oh.
So you got to kind of be careful. Don't your parents are called to bless their children, right? And the third would be there's a movie that came out about 15 the Exorcism of Emily Rose. It came out about 15 years ago. Maybe you saw it. Is that it could actually be a trial from God so that God can bring greater good out of it. So you have the Ursuline nuns in the 1800s that had possessions, and they were holy, so God allowed that so that God could bring good out of evil. So I think it's important, not that we talk about this that often, but recognize the presence of the devil. The devil exists. One last idea. And this is St. Ignatius of Loyola. There is a time in which the devil tempts all of us. And it's this. When we're in a state of desolation. That's St. Ignatius. You know what that means? When you're in a state that when you feel kind of sad, depressed, discouraged, okay? You feel nothing really seems to be happening. And then that's the devil looks at your kryptonite and he shoots. So everyone should know that. Everyone should know that. Is that when we're in a state of desolation, that's when the devil sees us and then he's going to try to tempt us. So in the state of desolation, rule 6 of Rules of Discernment, what are you supposed to do? Pray. As Jesus did in the garden. Pray, because you're tempted to give up prayer. Meditate a little bit. You know, read Psalm 23. The Lord my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Third, practice a little bit of penance. A little bit of a sacrifice. And fourth, examine your conscience to see what is the reason, the proper reason why you do experience that desolation. Because there's cause-effect. You know, So we are in spiritual warfare, whether you like it or not. We're in spiritual warfare. We've got the good spirit working on us, and we have the bad spirit working on us. And I think one of the best ways to conquer the devil is through the rosary. Yeah, right. Maybe I've heard of Bartolo Longo. You ever hear Bartolo Longo was mentioned John Paul II, the Apostolic Letter of the Rosary. He was a Neapolitan, studied law, and he got in contact with the Satanists. And he actually became a satanic priest. And one of the Dominican priests prayed and fasted for him, and he went to confession. When he came out of the confession, he heard one voice that said, "You belong to me, the devil." Then he heard another voice, "If you want to be saved, pray the rosary." So he started to pray and propagate the rosary, conquer the devil, and he made the most famous church in the world dedicated to Mary in Pompeii, Naples. I think you were there, Mike, Our Lady of the Rosary. Yes. And so that was built because of this man who was a Satanist. Now he was beatified by John Paul II. And it came through the power of the rosary. So if we use the rosary, we'll be able to conquer the devil, right? Very powerful prayer. So we've had a little short conversation on the satanic. You had to be aware that the devil does exist. But never forget, God is much more powerful than the devil. And there are two extremes we have to avoid. One extreme is to deny the existence of the devil. The other is to give him too much importance. You notice the Protestants like Joyce Meyer, they're always talking about the devil. The devil made me do it. Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it, right? So there's an extreme. The more you talk about the devil, the more you empower the devil. But if you deny the existence of the devil, like having enemies coming to attack you, you're not going to be able to defend yourself if we deny the existence of the devil. So let's pray that we're aware of the presence of the evil spirit in our lives, but rely upon God, because as the psalm says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen.